was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. Oh, you called.
Day, yes? Aren't you glad that our worship of the King is not dependent on our circumstances, but is dependent on our Savior? Amen? Amen? Yeah.
Yeah.
cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living
We serve the living hope, paid a perfect sacrifice. Amen? That God loves you.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope with no place to begin. Redeemed, only beauty remains. orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more.
Yeah.
My shame was a ransom. So my debt, and he called me his friend. Oh, when death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand.
Come on!
That's when death was arrested in my life.
Father, I love glorifying your name. I love that we get to come in this place and be grateful for who you are and the things that you've done throughout our week. And God, I pray that we are being filled so that when we come in this place, it's not just about singing. It's not just about listening. It's about giving our all to you. It's about worshiping you, not just by the words or the songs, but in the prayers and the thoughts and the walk and every single thing of our lives, God.
We are so grateful for the things you are doing and your constant, perfect faithfulness. Amen? So, Father God, thank you for this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears, and most of all, open our hearts. Soften them to your word. May we hear you. It's in your precious name. And all God's people said.
Hey, good morning, church family. It's good to be here worshiping together. And again, I want to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We have got a fantastic service that is planned, full of talking about all the great things that God is doing in our church, but also in the lives of so many people within our church. And so as we get started, one, I especially want to welcome those of you today that may be guests with us, whether in the room or online. Thank you for worshiping with us. I would encourage you to take a moment and fill out a connection card. If you grabbed one on the way in, if you didn't and you're a guest, would love for you to stop by the tables as you exit. You can grab one of those connection cards. It's a great first step to getting connected here at Westgate, and you can turn it in the guest center that is there in the main entrance. We've got some awesome hosts that are always standing out there chock full of knowledge about how things work here at the church and how to get connected, and they would love to answer any questions that you might have about Westgate. We also would love to give you small gift to say thank you for being here. So please be sure to stop by if you are a guest and do that. Regular attenders, please fill out a connection card. If you've got prayer requests, it's a great way to let the staff know so that we can be praying for you and your family in this season. Those of you that are online, you'll see the QR code that is on your screen. You can scan that, or underneath the live stream on our webpage, you can also click the button that says connection card and I'll fill that out electronically. Well, we have got a lot of great things going on this morning. And one of those things that I'm excited about is we are going to be bringing in a number of new members into membership here at Westgate today. So I'm going to invite Pastor Mike, our adult ministries pastor, to come up and take this section.
Awesome. Church family, it's so fun that over the course of this year, which has been admittedly kind of rocky in different ways, we've had new people getting involved with Westgate Chapel for the first time, as well as some people who've been here for a while who have said, you know what, I'm ready to take that step to become an official member at the church. And so today we get to celebrate 11 family members officially becoming a part of Westgate's body, and I'm excited to share that with you guys. If you don't know what membership is, church membership is a relationship between the church and the members. I'm basically saying two things. The church is saying to the members, kind of the church's side, is that we're saying we recognize you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we are committed to discipling you and sharing life with you as a member of this local church family. And at the same time, the member is saying to the church, Westgate Chapel, I recognize you as a faithful, gospel-declaring church, and now I am committing to growing as a disciple and partnering with you as a member of your church family. And so all these individuals have gone through our membership class, which, you know, the rigorous things that I make them go through and that, no, it's a lot of fun. But we talked about our theology, what we believe as a church. We talk about our history. We talk about our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So many great things. Just getting to know Westgate Chapel's DNA and roots and what we're all about. Following that, they've all gone through an interview, a membership conversation with a couple of our elders or pastors. And now they're all here today, and they're saying, yes, we're taking the final step of this journey and doing the membership recognition today on Sunday morning. And so that's where they are today. Super excited about all of this. And I'm actually going to invite them to kind of line up, and they're going to be joining me on stage. I want you to get to meet them this morning. And so I'm just going to have them come up one kind of group at a time, and they're going to share their names, how long they've been at Westgate Chapel, and then spread out on stage. And so I'm going to invite up Judy, and she's our first one, and she's accompanied by Wayne Gates, one of our elders here at the church. And so, yeah, come on up. And yeah, this is going to be great, you guys. So, yeah. Awesome.
Hi, good morning. My name is Judy Lazar, and I came from First Lines Church, an affiliate of this church.
And my name is Aaron Ifland, and I've been attending Westgate for about 5 years.
My name is Annalise Mason, and I've been attending Westgate for 3 years.
My name is Joe Lewis, and I've been attending Westgate for about 6 months.
My name is Ken Nagy, and I'm attending Westgate for about a year. Thank you.
We're the Jones family. I'm Wendy. This is Chad and my son, Jack, and we've been attending Westgate for 10 years.
We're Mark and Jolynn Philippi, and we've been attending Westgate for about 7 months.
We are Jackie and Mark Loudermilk, and we've been attending Westgate for 5 months, and we are proud to be joining the Westgate family.
Awesome. I know there's probably some new faces to some of you guys, haven't had a chance to meet each other yet, but I just want to encourage you, there's some amazing people on stage this morning, people that have gotten involved in our church in so many ways already, involved with serving. A number of the people here, most of them are involved serving somewhere, whether it's as greeters or in the cafe or on the worship team or a whole bunch of different places, getting involved with local outreach in the community. A lot of them have gotten involved with life groups or in Bible studies and are connecting that way relationally. As well, we have some individuals aspiring to help lead at our church and life groups and in mentoring. And so I really encourage you. These are some great people. Definitely get to know them. And yeah, would you give them one more big welcome here? Just yeah.
Awesome. And I definitely want to thank you guys for making the decision to join us in membership. It is such a fantastic thing to have so many great people joining our church family and excited to get involved and to serve the Lord here. And so I want to thank you for that. This morning, I have a charge for you as you join in membership, and I'll read that to you now. Here's what it says. Because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and because of your expressed desire to be members of Westgate Chapel, will you commit yourselves to serve Christ faithfully as a member of this church family? Will you commit yourself to our mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you personally seek to grow in your own relationship with the Lord through the daily study of God's Word and through prayer? Will you commit to actively engage with other members of our church family through regular church attendance and by also pursuing close-knit community where you are growing alongside of others? Will you commit to utilizing your God-given time, talents, and treasure for the purposes of serving the Lord in our church, in our community, and in His worldwide mission to reach the lost? And will you take responsibility for the health and forward movement of our church family? Will you submit yourself to the pastors and the elders of this church whom God has given authority to serve as overseers and shepherds? If you will commit yourselves to these things, please say, I will. All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this church body that you have given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for how you have given us this place to not only come and to worship you, but also to do life together, to encourage one another, to build each other up, but also to serve alongside each other in the proclamation of the gospel in our community and throughout the world. And Father, I want to thank you for each of these individuals that are standing up here this morning who are committing themselves to this church body, your body, Lord. Father, we thank you for their desire to be involved, to be engaged, to be in relationship, but more importantly, to serve and to join us, Father, as we join you in proclaiming the gospel with others. I pray, Father, that you would draw out of each of them the spiritual giftedness that you have given to them. I pray, Father, that you would help them to find the places that you have ordained for them to serve and to minister to others. And most of all, I pray, Father, your great blessing upon them, that each one of them would experience the incredible opportunity of being able to lead someone to Jesus Christ as they follow you and follow your mission. Lord, we give you thanks. We pray your blessing on them. And most of all, from this morning, we pray that your son, Jesus Christ, would receive all of the glory and honor. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much. Welcome into membership in our church. And again, church family, let's give them a huge welcome again. Thank you, guys. And as I said, first service, there are a few members that passed the first test of not stepping backwards into the dunk tank back behind me here. It is always an interesting Sunday where I preach with extra awareness of where I am stepping. So I wish y'all could experience with me. I'm not even joking. The thing terrifies me. Well, hey, We last week were wrapping up our prayer series together, and we spent an incredible time as a church family, spending time in worship of the Lord in song, but especially in prayer and reflection. And I heard from so many of you how special of a time that was for you. I pray and I hope that you are going to continue to dive in, not just here on Sunday mornings with that, but even in your own personal times with the Lord. There are so many great things that are going on in our church family. And even before our prayer series, we have been talking about putting Christ first in our lives. We did a series for a number of weeks entitled First. We're talking in the book of Colossians chapter 1 about what that means. And it's interesting as we consider what it means to put Christ first. You know, we've been looking at this season that we've been going through. The first question I asked in our time of worship last week that we spent time reflecting on was this. We've been going through a season that's been hard and for many different reasons. There have been things and normalcy in our lives that has been stripped from us. There have been fears that have been put in with the pandemic that is going on. There have been job losses, family members, even ourselves, some of us who have gotten sick. There have been deaths and loss of loved ones. It has been a hard and a difficult season. And it's very easy for us as we go through a season like this to focus on the negative and to focus on the things that are difficult and hard and to forget that yet, even in the midst of it, that our God is in control of all things, that he is sovereign, and that he as well is continuing to work and to do good things, even in the midst of a world that seems to be in chaos. And I want us to think about this morning, because I have seen the Lord doing so many good things in our church. As we've been going through this season, I've been hearing from many of you about how the Lord is taking you to a deeper place in your walk with him. That having many things stripped from you in this season has helped you to realize how distracted we have become, even as the church, with the things of this world, rather than pouring into our relationship with Christ. And I have received email after email over the past many months from many of you in this church saying, God is doing a new work in me. He's opening up my eyes to see things that I haven't seen before, and I'm growing in him in ways that I haven't in the past. And that has been such an encouragement to me because God is still working. I've been hearing testimonies of how many of you have continued to reach out to your neighbors and to your friends and people that God has put in your circles, not only to build relationships, but to proclaim and share the gospel with them. It has been exciting. We've got over 200, I think, and 25 people so far that have signed up for our 30 days of prayer as a church family, hungry to go deeper in prayer. And I want to say abundantly clear this morning, if you didn't sign up yet and you're like, I want to get in on this, it is not too late. To sign up, you can go to westgatechapel.org/30days and you can sign up there. You can fill in a thing and you'll get the next prayer sheet. We'll also send you what has already begun. As well, if you're not into email and the internet, you can contact me here at the church and I will get you a copy as quickly as I can. But it's been exciting to see the things that God is doing. Later in this service, we're going to be baptizing a bunch of people. They're going to talk about how God has been working in their life. Church family, what I want us to recognize as we go through this season is that God is still working. And God is still good, even when it's hard. And what makes following Jesus so good is when we put him first in all seasons of life. It allows us to experience his grace and his goodness in the good, but also in the bad. And this morning, again, I want us to revisit one more time, what it really means to put Jesus first in our life. As I mentioned, we went through a series entitled First, looking at Colossians chapter 1. And this morning, I would like us to take another look at another passage. And this one is found in the book of Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bibles or your phone apps, I would love for you to flip there with me. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And as we look at this passage together, especially talk about what it means to put Christ first, what I'm so excited about is those that are going to be baptized here this morning, this is the proclamation they're making. that Jesus is first in my life. I choose him above all other things. And so I'm excited, and I want that to be a choice that all of us are making daily together as followers of Jesus Christ. So as we get into this passage, I want you to look at it with me. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Here's what it says. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But the gentleman said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus says to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I want us to walk through this passage together. There are three interactions that take place. The way the passage begins in verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road. For context, Jesus and his disciples have been ministering in the Galilee region in northern Israel. And Jesus has begun his travels south to Jerusalem. What we do know is that when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, it will not be much long after that point where he gives his life and is crucified on a cross. But it says here that as Jesus begins on this journey along the road, someone came to him and said, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Now I want you to think about that. That's an incredibly bold statement to make. No matter what, wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus, I'm in and I'm with you. And at first glance, we would think to ourselves, man, this is exciting. This must be exactly what Jesus is looking for. People that will run up and say, whatever it is that you call me to do, I will do, I will follow, I will go. You would think Jesus would say, let's sign you up, jump on in the caravan, and let's keep going. But Jesus' response actually shocks us when we read this passage. His response is basically, he says to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I want you to think about this. The book of Matthew, where this story is also recounted, tells us that this man that came to Jesus was a teacher of the law. And what we know about the teachers of the law of that day is this, is that oftentimes they would attempt to attach themselves to a more popular rabbi in order to increase their own status. As they would spend time with him, their status would increase, they would gain followers, and this was a good thing for them as well. This man, no doubt, would want to follow Jesus because not only was Jesus one of the most incredible teachers that the people had ever heard, but he was doing incredible miracles that they had never seen. People were being healed in ways that were incredible to watch. And there's no doubt that as this man, this teacher of the law, comes to Jesus, that he's looking and going, man, I want in on this glamorous lifestyle. I would love to follow this man, maybe even gain some of my own popularity in the process. It looks really glamorous. And one of the interesting things I've thought about is this, is that we often try to sell the Christian life in this way within the church. We think to ourselves, hey, you should go to church. You should come with me. There's all this glamorous stuff about it. I mean, you come to my church, we sit together in this big room. We've got awesome music with an incredible beat. It's really modern. We really love it, you know. And the pastor, he'll preach messages. They'll warm your heart. They'll inspire you. And the Christian life is just this really great thing. You should jump in. We try to sell it in this really glamorous way to people to make them think that this is the next hot thing that they should do. And thus Jesus' response to him when he says that foxes and holes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, Jesus' response to him is this: it isn't as glamorous as you might think. He wants him to have a moment of reality. And the reason is because Jesus knows how easy it is for people to turn away from him and from following God when things get hard. We need look no further in our own world and culture at what has happened in the church at large as we walk through a pandemic. It is very easy to walk through times where life feels chaotic and that we don't have control and to go, God, what do I do? Well, I can't do anything, so we just kind of start to walk away. Jesus knows that this man has this glorious image of what it would be to follow him, a glamorous image. And his point to him is this: it isn't as glamorous as you think. There's a cost to being a disciple. Jesus wants him to understand, I'm homeless. I got nowhere to sleep, nowhere to lay my head. Have your eyes open that there's a cost to following. And the first point that I think Jesus makes to us as we look in this passage, I think is a question for us. I'd encourage you to write this down is, will you put Jesus first when life gets hard? When life is hard and it's difficult, and especially when it's not easy to follow Jesus, will you still put him first? When it's not popular in our culture to stand for truth, will you put Jesus first? When you're persecuted because of what you believe, will you put Jesus first? Will you choose comfort or will you choose the cross? And that is the first thing, that point that Jesus makes as he is on this road and engages in these conversations. But look at the second interaction, and this one's a little bit different from the first. In the first interaction, a gentleman comes up to Jesus and says, hey, I'll follow you wherever I go. But Jesus actually, in this second conversation, initiates it with a man, and he says to him, if you look here with me in verse 58, he says to another, he said, would you follow me? But the gentleman said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus' response is one that many people have struggled with and had a hard time with because it seems so harsh that Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. When we listen to this verse and we think about it, this gentleman says, let me first go and bury my father. That sounds like a very reasonable request. And in some sense it was, especially in Jewish culture, one of the highest and most important things that a son could do is bury his father when he passed away. It was one of the greatest responsibilities that he had to bring honor to his father. To not do so would to bring shame. But as we think about this, we look at how scholars have interpreted this. When the man says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father, there are two lines of thought of what was potentially happening. The first line is this. Some people believe that his father had actually died. And what the son is saying is, I want to return quickly to bury him and then return. But there are other scholars that believe that the father is actually still alive. And the reason that they do this is because oftentimes in that culture, when people were buried, they were buried the very same day that they passed away. Some people have suggested that maybe what this man actually desired was to go back, though his father was alive, and to wait until he had passed away. Maybe there were inheritance things he was waiting for. There were no doubt other priorities that he wanted to put in place. Whatever the answer may be, whatever the situation may have been, either way you take it, Jesus' point is clear. This man represents those who show interest in following Jesus, yet have greater worldly priorities. And Jesus' question and challenge here is this: will you put me first and my mission first before all things? Are you willing to sacrifice all things in this life for me? Am I truly your greatest and most important priority? And with this, there's a play on words that he uses after he says here, when he says, leave the dead to bury their own dead. In essence, what he's saying is, leave the spiritually dead to bury those who are physically dead. For you have more important matters to turn to. And those are matters of taking the gospel proclamation of life to people who do not know Jesus. Such an important calling. And what Jesus pushes here also is the urgency in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom that must reside in the heart of every follower of Jesus Christ. It's a message of life to those who are dead, and people are perishing and dying every single day and going to an eternity separated from God because they have not given their hearts to Jesus Christ. As a church, This is the reason that we talk about the idea of neighboring constantly. And you think to yourself, what are they talking about when they talk about neighboring? When we talk about neighboring, it's about proclamation of the gospel. We want to be the kind of followers of Jesus Christ that are recognizing the circles that God has placed us in life where we have influence with people. And to recognize the relationships that we have so that we can proclaim the good news to those people who will be eternally separated from him if they do not receive Jesus Christ. When we look at neighboring, that's what we're talking about. And that's why we're passionate about it, is there must be an urgency to it. If we would just stop and look, it is what is happening in our world today. With a pandemic that is taking place, there is this fear that is crippling people. People are coming face to face with their own mortality, either themselves becoming sick or loved ones becoming sick and even passing away. And my hope is what that is doing is opening up our eyes as followers of Jesus to say, what if someone in my circle that I have neglected to share the gospel with passes away? They will spend eternity separated from God. And God has called me and placed me in places to go and to share the good news. It's the reason when we talk about neighboring at Christmas time here at Westgate Chapel, when we talk about doing Bless a Child, do you know why we buy gifts for children in the 04 part of Toledo? Do you know why we do that? Because we have a sister church there that we have planted where they are going. And these gifts that we purchase enable them, something that they could not do, it enables them to build a relationship in that community for the proclamation of the gospel. Why is it that we're doing this event called Christmas on Wilford, where we've encouraged you to come and bring your gifts to the church so that we can give them to that neighborhood church? And why have we asked you to consider asking your neighbors to participate with you? Because it's an opportunity for them to see in your life and for you to have an opportunity to what? Proclaim the gospel. Why is it that we're going to do a Christmas Eve service outdoors on the 23rd when it's freezing cold? Why? Because there are many people right now who will not enter into a building in this community, and we want them to hear the proclamation of the gospel. We want them to know about our Savior who has given us this incredible gift, that they themselves would receive it. And so when we talk about neighboring at Christmas, we're talking about taking advantage of the opportunities God has given us as individual followers of Jesus to proclaim his gospel in the circles that he has given to us. And we must have an urgency. It's why we are doing the Unfinished Initiative at Westgate Chapel. It's not just about raising money. It's about community engagement and recognizing that for us in the second year, God is calling us to expand our reach with people we would never have touch with in this life so that we could proclaim the gospel. It's about going out and using our words. It's not about going out and doing nice things for people so that they look at us and go, we love Christians in the church because they give us things. What we are looking to do is have opportunity to share Jesus with others. This is the heart that Jesus has in this conversation with this man, is that there is an urgency that followers of Jesus Christ need to have at proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, because every day people are dying without him and will go to an eternity separated from him. In this third conversation, which is somewhat similar to the second, it says this: a gentleman says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus' response is, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, each of these two guys, this one and the guy previous, the reason, the issue with their question to the Lord is that they were putting conditions and stipulations on following Jesus Christ. And I believe the question that we have to ask ourselves and that Jesus wants us to ask is, will we be followers who are marked by indecisive minds when it comes to following? Or we be marked by having undivided hearts, that we will be wholly focused on what God is calling us to and placing him first in our life. And I want you to think about it in these terms. If you were to go on a walk later on today or sometime this week out at Olander Park, and you were walking along and you saw a child out in the middle of the lake that was drowning, what would you do in that moment? You see this child and you see that they're drowning. How many of us, if we saw that that was happening, would delay? How many of us would pause to consider, do I have time to help this child? How many of us would sit there wondering, am I enough to help this child? How many of us would be afraid to go and jump in fearing that we might actually do something wrong? None of us. The truth is that if we saw a child drowning out in the middle of a lake, we would spring into action because we would know that their life needs to be saved and we are placed here in this moment and have the opportunity to save them. So why, as followers of Christ, are we indecisive and placing of stipulations to save those who are perishing without the Lord when their eternity is at stake? No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What Jesus says is he uses this example of plowing. You know, we may not quite understand that because plowing today has really big metal machines that have GPS and guide them on a straight track while you play video games on your phone, right? Plowing back in the day for them was steering cattle, and the person that was plowing had to keep their eye fixated to keep a straight line as they plowed that field. And if they were to turn their head and look away, they would veer off course. Jesus' call in placing him first is for us to keep our eyes fixated on him and on the mission that he has called us to. And church family, this morning, as we consider this truth, I want us to wrestle in our own lives. Have we truly put Jesus first in all things? Have we put Jesus first in such a way that we don't choose the comfort of this world, but we choose the cross? Will we put Jesus first even when life gets hard? Will we trust him even when it's hard to trust him? Will we be those who prioritize his mission and recognize that we're not just called to go out into our community and to do nice things, but the call is to proclaim the gospel? For that is the only way that people will know. This is the call that God has given to us. Church family, will you put Jesus first? Today, we are going to have the opportunity to celebrate a number of baptisms of people that are choosing to put Jesus first in their life, that their greatest desire is to follow him with all of their heart. And I hope for us today, as we witness these testimonies and these baptisms, that for you, that it would be a moment for you to remember as well the commitment that you have made and the seriousness of that commitment and the folly of following after the things of this world as opposed to the joy of following Jesus in the good seasons and also in the bad. For God is good. His blessing is abounding when we place him first in our lives. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and to lead us in a song of worship. And as we do so, again, I just encourage you to focus your hearts, focus your minds, and talk to the Lord about what it looks like and means for you to truly place him first in all things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for the chance to worship you. And Father, we thank you for the challenge that comes from your word. And God, I pray that you would do a work inside of each of our hearts, that Father, you would truly reveal to each one of us the areas of our own lives where we haven't put you first, where we have followed the ways of the world, or even maybe, Father, we have just been lazy in our own following of you. God, I pray that you would set our hearts to put you first in such a way that we are putting your mission first in our own hearts and lives, that we would take the wonderful gift of salvation that we have received from your son, Jesus Christ, and we would share it with those around us that do not know you. And so, Father, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning, even as we worship and we praise you and we thank you for the work that you have done in the lives of those who will be baptized here this morning. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
just to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't walk heaven without us. So Jesus, you death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised, you life again. You King. compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What's up, Westgate? How y'all doing? Going good? Awesome. I'm not going to lie, as I was walking in here, I contemplated jumping and doing a cannonball, but I don't think that would have went well with the song right there. I'm so glad you guys are all here. I'm pumped for today. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Dan. I'm the middle school pastor here at Westgate, and we're going to get some baptisms done today. I'm so pumped. Yes, come on now. It's going to be exciting. It's an awesome day. I love baptism day. And right here, I have Emmy France and her dad, Ty. And before we get to the really good stuff, we want to get to know you a little bit more, okay? All right, so Emmy, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you go to school?
Okay, so hi, my name is Emmy. I'm 12 years old, and I'm homeschooled, and I love to do drums, piano, and I love dance.
Awesome. There we go. I like to dance, too, back in my younger years. Real quick, I have some quick questions for you, okay? Rapid fire. What's your favorite ice cream?
Vanilla.
Wait, say it again.
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Okay, I like chocolate. That's all right. Favorite food?
Chinese food.
Chinese food. All right, nice.
Favorite sports team?
I'll just say Ohio State.
Ohio State. Buckeyes. Got that win yesterday. Favorite subject in school?
Math or science.
Math or science. All right. Very cool. Well, now that we know you a little bit better, I want to ask you to tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us when you decided to accept Jesus into your life and what led up to that.
When I was 6 years old, in my kitchen, my mom and my sister and I, we were talking about, like, if you want to accept Jesus into our heart. And I said yes, so I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 6 years old in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Very nice. Awesome. Very cool. All right. And tell us why you want to get baptized.
I want to get baptized because I want to tell everyone I love Jesus and I want to grow my faith and obey what God calls me to do.
Praise the Lord. That is so cool. Thank you, Emmy. All right. Come right here. All right. Set your glasses down. Sweet. All right. Emmy, based on your profession of faith and your testimony that you told us, right? And honestly, based off of your life and how I see Jesus working in you, your dad and I, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, up next, we have John Delverne. Everyone welcome him. There we go. Good to see you. All right, John. So, same thing for you. Before we get to the good stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you go to school, and what are some of your favorite things to do?
Hi, I'm John Delverne. I'm 14 today.
It's his birthday!
I go to McCord Junior High, and I like playing hockey and hanging out with family.
Awesome. Dude's a spectacular hockey player. All right, rapid fire, same questions. Favorite ice cream?
Chocolate or vanilla.
My man. Favorite food?
Chinese.
Oh, we got two Chinese. Interesting. All right. Favorite sports team?
Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go. And favorite subject in school?
Math.
Math, really. You guys are smart. Those are not my favorite. All right, now we know a little bit better. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, when you decided to accept Jesus into your life, and how old are you and all that stuff?
It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I was kind of heading down a dark path, and it wasn't the right way. And one night, I was laying in my bed and praying, and all of a sudden, I asked God, to just help me, and he opened my eyes, and I accepted him right there and then.
Amen. That's so awesome. Praise the Lord. And John, why don't you tell us why you want to get baptized?
I'm finally ready to proclaim my faith, and I'm ready for you guys to walk with me in my faith and through my life.
Awesome. Well, we got your back, man. That's so awesome. All right, John, line up right here, brother. Based on your testimony and, again, your life and how I see Jesus working in you every day, man, it is your grandfather and I's privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Well, here we go again. I've got Blake Moore here with me and his grandfather as well. And super excited again just to see how God is working in Blake's life. I got to talk with you this week, and I'm going to have you do similar here that Pastor Dan did with the others. Would you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Where do you go to school? What are your favorite things in life to do with all of the spare time?
So my name is Blake Moore. I go to school at Fallen Timbers Middle School, and I like to play soccer, play with my friends outside, and play video games.
Yes, and play video games, Fortnite, right? Woo-hoo. I told him maybe I've beat him one time and he doesn't know it. So tell me something else, rapid fire. Favorite ice cream?
Orange sherbet.
Orange sherbet, that's very good. They're so bland, like vanilla, come on. Okay, how about food?
Chinese.
It's the going thing. Everybody's going to Panda Express after church. All right. So let me see. The third question is favorite sports team.
Indiana. Indiana Colts.
There might have been some influence there. He said he won't baptize them otherwise. Okay. I love it. Oh, it's always good to have family in here, isn't it? Awesome. All right. Well, buddy, last thing, favorite subject in school?
Math or science.
Math or science. That's awesome. Well, Blake, I got to hear a little bit of your own testimony. Would you share with everybody this morning when and kind of the situation around how you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
So when I was like 5 or 6, I asked my mom if we could... if I could get saved, and she said, yes, of course. And so we went up to my room, and we prayed, and we talked about it a little, and yeah, I got saved.
That's awesome. And would you tell us, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
It's just I want to tell people that I've been saved and just show them that I am a Christian.
That's awesome. Great. Well, that's awesome, Blake. And we are super excited here to baptize you. And actually, your grandfather is going to take it away. So,
in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon Blake's public profession of faith in Christ, it's with great joy and honor that I baptize. He is not only my grandchild, but as my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his glorious resurrection.
Praise God.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Love you, brother. Thank you.
It's always good to have another pastor in here with me, sharing the duties. Thank you so much. And our next baptism is Janice Bertram. And Janice, why don't you come on out here and join me? She's back there. Is she hiding? Great. Give Janice a round of applause as she comes. Ready? Got you there. All right.
Nice and warm.
Yes, it is. I wouldn't get in otherwise. All right. Well, Janice, this is an exciting day, isn't it?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Well, Janice and I got the opportunity to talk together this week, and Janice, such a life-giving conversation we had together. Share with everybody a little bit of your journey with the Lord.
Well, when I was growing up, I had to live with my grandparents for a while, me and one of my brothers, and I was like 9 or 10, and my grandparents went to Sunday school and church every Sunday. And I enjoyed it because I was in Sunday school drawing pictures and worshiping Jesus that saved my soul. But I was too young to know all that. And I kept talking to Grandpa and Grandma about it. I just never wanted to miss church. I enjoyed it. And I just believe in Jesus every day.
That's awesome. And then you were sharing with me a little bit of, there was definitely some hardship that you went through in your life. And
yes,
not living with the grandparents, going back with your mom, and not a lot of church and things that were going on at that time. And what you shared with me is you had started going back to church. And can I share a little bit more of our conversation with everybody? You good with that?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we got together, Janice looked at me, and as she was sharing, she said to me, she said, you know, I want to be baptized because I want to know for sure that I'm going to be going to heaven and that I'll be with Jesus. Right? And you may.
Well, I feel right now I'm in this water, and I believe that God took all my sins away, and that's the way I feel today.
Yeah.
And
amen.
I believe in him, and for me to, I'm really from Mansfield, Ohio, and for me to come to Toledo to live, I've been here, the 24th will be 5 months. I have a friend, Janice Williams. We're like sisters, but we're not blood sisters. She's the best friend in my life. She kept talking me to come to Toledo. What's in Toledo for me? I kept saying to myself. I didn't tell her that. But I was always thinking, well, she kept on wanting me to move. I never did. Till probably about 4 or 5 years later, I was going to Offen Church, but I kept always praying myself every night. And I prayed on it. I said, Lord, all this I've been through in my life here in Mansfield, send me to either another state, city, somewhere. And she came down one weekend, and I gave her a date. And she said, you sure? I said, yes, I'm sure. I said, I prayed on it, and I told her that. And I'm in Toledo, Ohio today, getting baptized. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen. And as we met together in my office, we talked about how we can have full assurance of faith.
Yes.
That one day when you die, that you will be with God in heaven. And she has been going to church and she has been believing, but she never made that exact profession of faith to follow Jesus. So we prayed together.
Right.
And my friend Janice accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior this past week, made that ultimate commitment in prayer to him. Very exciting. And I'm gonna share with everybody because it was one of the best experiences for me. We're talking on the phone doing this. And when we said amen, this lady here cried tears of joy that I can only describe as the Holy Spirit touching her, saying, I have never felt this way before. And God's joy came over her. It was so beautiful. And she looked at me and said, can we do this again? I said, we don't have to do it again. Because you have professed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And today, as we baptize you, is the symbol to all of these people of the choice that you have made. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Janice, because you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. It is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is good, amen? God is so good. You know, I shared with each one of the people who were baptized, just even in my own life, how important it was when I made that decision to follow Jesus. I made it as a young boy. I was a young boy who, at 5 years old, when my sister basically scared me into heaven by telling me the devil was real and I was going to hell, and then I said, Mom, is that true? And she said, yep.
I can remember after talking with my mom about the gospel that I went into my room and I bowed down. I have the visual picture in my mind that day of yielding my life to Christ. And later when I was in junior high, I made that profession in baptism to say, this is the choice I've made, and I'm going to follow Jesus my whole life. And it was one of the most important moments of my life. And I know for each one of those that have been baptized today, they are going to look back on today that today is the day that they have sealed before all of you that their faith is their own and they're going to walk with Jesus. Praise God. So, church family, thank you. We're going to continue now and we're going to worship together. Take it away.
Worship, though. We want to thank him one more time. Our God is good, is he not? All the time? You guys know it. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to be here in this place. Whether we are sitting at home streaming this service, whether we are sitting in the pews here, wherever we are, that we are able to worship you and praise you. We are so thankful to see the faithfulness of these few. You modeled it for us. Your everlasting, perfect faithfulness you have modeled day in and day out. And you continue to do so. We are so grateful for this time and the visibility of being able to see your faithfulness through the chaos, through the COVID, through whatever you want to call it, through the fear. God, that you are here and you are living with us, in us, beside us, before us, around us. You have never left us or forsaken us. Amen? We stand here unashamed, uninhibited, unguarded to worship you because of what you are doing in this world. This is not our world. This is your world, Father. Your world to do with as you choose, and you have a perfect plan for this world, and you have poured down your mercy and your grace even when we don't feel like we deserve it. You lay it down again and again and again. So God, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness like none other. May we go out and do the same for those that we run into so they may come to know you just like these. That they may profess to you your name alone just like these. Father God, let's sing to you. Let's give you praise in your precious name. Amen. Come on. We're going to celebrate. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes it up? Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah! This is amazing grace. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Amen. We want to hear you sing it out. Who brings our chaos back into order?
cross, with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
Yes, it is.
This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for.
Amen. Amen. Give him praise. Come on.
Hey, we give him praise. What a great morning of worship and celebrating the Lord. God is so good. And church family, I just want to encourage you today with a couple of things as we close. One, we talked today about the urgency to share the gospel. Take seriously God's call to go and to proclaim it. You have opportunity with neighboring this Christmas, whether it's doing things with people that are in your circles, whether it's helping those that are working down at that neighborhood church through the Blessed Child, whether that is bringing people to our Christmas Eve services and engaging in conversation, have an urgency to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And as we close our service today, many of you know that today, as we have sent out in an email, is really the marking point for us to begin year two of the Unfinished Initiative. And it has been an incredible first year. God has shown himself in such a crazy season to be so faithful. Our debt is so close to being paid off that we can taste that it's going to come at the end of this year. Super close. God is good. To God be the glory in that. But what that means is that we are focusing our hearts and our minds right now on this call to proclaim the gospel. We started the Unfinished Initiative with the belief that there, Westgate Chapel has over 100 years of rich ministry in this community and throughout the world, seeing countless people come to faith in Jesus because of the ministry of the people that called this church home. And we believe that God is going to do a work again through this church, that the work he has for us is unfinished. And so as we push into this next year, we are pushing in and setting our commitments to go out and to proclaim that good news. Today is the day where we bring our offerings and we follow our new commitments for year number two. And I wanted us to end our service with a prayer of blessing and honor to the Lord for his faithfulness throughout this first year, but we know his continued faithfulness in this year to come as we follow him and put him first in all things. So would you join me, church family, in praying and giving this to the Lord together? And as we do, I'm going to pray as I did at our advanced commitment night when we began the Unfinished Initiative. I'm going to pray from Scripture this morning.
as we see in 1 Chronicles 29, when David had called all of the people to bring their offerings together for the building of the temple. And when they had come, and they had more than what they would need, this is the blessing that David gave to the Lord and that we offer to him this morning. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given to you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, this abundance that we have provided, it is all yours. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Father, we direct our hearts toward you, towards the call that you have placed in our life to put you first. And we join you in your kingdom work of proclaiming the gospel to a world that needs you. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Do all the work that you have planned to do through us, and may it not be thwarted according to your will. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys. You have a fantastic week serving the Lord.